Welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. I'm your host, Rima Katz. Today, we're unraveling the unexpected and surprising trends that shape the payments landscape in 2023. We're also going to be looking ahead and speaking to the trends that have our experts buzzing with excitement. Joining me today is Jeff Kump, president of CSG Forte, and Dan Keyes, senior analyst of merchant services at Javelin Strategy and Research. They're going to dissect the predictions that held true and those that didn't quite meet the mark. It's great to have you both with us today. Jeff, to start things off, when you think of what happened in payments over the course of 2023, what surprised you the most?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I think the thing that surprised me in 2023 was really the explosion of AI. You know, AI and machine learning has been something that has been out there, but really the explosion, the proliferation of AI and the use of AI, not just in the payments industry, but really across the board was very surprising and exciting as well. And, you know, a lot of businesses are trying to figure out how they best leverage AI to improve the customer experience, enhance customer support, as well as, you know, within the payments industry, reducing fraud is really some great use cases for AI. And, you know, that being said, CSG has been in the AI business for several years, offering predictive behaviors to help analyze customer journeys and what's that next best action. And as we're leveraging kind of the next generation of AI, we recently launched our Bill Explainer product. And what that does is it helps identify the billing behavior of individual consumers to help drive down billing confusion, which then leads to less calls into the call center, better customer experience. And we're also moving into other areas beyond kind of that billing piece, especially in the payment space. You know, as I said, machine learning's been there for kind of risk mitigation tools and fraud tools, but really with the evolution of Gen AI and other tools, being able to really identify both positive fraud where it might lead to a chargeback or, you know, just outright fraud really is exciting with the use of Gen AI. Daniel, I'm not sure what you're seeing as other surprising things.
Yeah, on AI to start, you know, I think we're at a stage where everyone's still kind of figuring it out. It's certainly been one of the hottest topics, if not the hottest topic in payments. But I think we're not quite sure all the use cases. You mentioned some potentially good ones. I'm seeing a lot of companies throw a bunch of stuff at the wall and see what sticks, see what is, you know, what merchants actually like, where AI actually makes a difference. I think it has a lot of potential. And I think we're starting to tap into it, but I think it has a long way to go before we really see, you know, the true potential of what AI can do in payments. But I think that's going to continue apace in 2024 and beyond.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. Yeah, it's exciting what it can do, and it opens up new possibilities. And the other thing that I think was surprising is also the shift in how merchants and consumers are using buy now, pay later. You know, it seemed like, you know, late 22, early 23, buy now, pay later was a very hot topic. There was a lot of press around it. There was a lot of interest in it. But it seems like as really the economy has shifted and, you know, lending became more expensive, that it's kind of been tampered down a little bit. You know, we still see, you know, merchants using buy now pay later as a sales tool to offer, you know, 0% interest for especially kind of higher ticket items. But, you know, some of the other areas, you know, still out there and still available, but not as readily, you know, in the forefront. Daniel, I'm not sure if you're seeing similar things on buy now pay later.
Yeah, I think, you know, the landscape for BNPL has definitely changed in 2023. I think, you know, whereas it was immensely popular and a very hot topic, it has definitely cooled off a little bit because of economic circumstances. But, you know, we're seeing that over the holidays, a number of consumers turn to BNPL to kind of complete transactions. Obviously, payment flexibility and financial flexibility is more important over the holidays than just about any other time of year. So BNPL is not dead, and I think there's room for it to have a bounce back even. But I think it clearly has, you know, a part to play in payments and in conversion, especially on the holidays and likely year round. So I don't think it's going away, but it certainly cooled off a good bit from where it was not that long ago.
Yeah, true. Yeah, one thing I heard was interesting recently is that, you know, Walmart is contemplating entering into the buy now, pay later at the point of checkout, which I thought was interesting. You know, I think it's great for the retailer. You know, it'll be soon to see if it's really great for the consumer, and especially with you're applying for your buy now, pay later at the checkout and all the people that are lined up behind you may cause some additional frustration.
Yeah, creating the right user experience that can be fast will be very important for using Buy Now, Pay Later in person. But it does allow BNPL to tap into a whole different, the majority of sales that they can get in store, and Walmart's a good place to start there.
Yeah, very true. Any other surprises that you're seeing, Daniel?
Yeah, I have a couple. Speaking of, in-store sales, I've been following, the rise of mobile point of sale technology, that being technology that lets a merchant accept payments with just a standard smartphone via contactless payments. And what became apparent in 2023 is that there's enterprise interest. That technology is very affordable, so it was not a surprise to see SMBs be very interested and want to be able to accept payments more flexibly and with paying less money. But JP Morgan announced that they're launching their own mobile point of sale technology, and they're doing it, and they're launching with Sephora, which is obviously a huge retailer, which points towards there being, interest in this technology from larger merchants. Maybe they want to blend it with more standard terminals, so that way they have more opportunities to check out throughout the store. They can create a more high-touch experience with employees armed with standard smartphones where they can check consumers out wherever they are. There's a lot of potential in enterprise, but I was not necessarily expecting it to maybe start off there, as it kind of picks up with popularity, but it seems like it might.
Yeah, that's interesting that it's, moving up channel and up market. Yeah, it'll be interesting to follow that.
Yeah, and then one other trend that really, surprised me, I think surprised a lot of people, is that there's been a lot of upheaval in the acquiring and merchant services space, where companies have been around for a long time and consolidated power are splitting off and changing up their strategies. I think acquiring and merchant services are often thought of as relatively static, and that in 2023 made that very clear that's not the case anymore. And that really introduces opportunities for more competition, especially in 2024 and beyond, for merchants and other clients, and to offer the right offer solutions in acquiring. And I think that's only going to pick up as as businesses kind of pivot and adjust and try to make sure they remain profitable and growing at a rate that they're happy with.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen it over the years in payments, where there's that kind of, it's very cyclical. And when we've seen the kind of the upheaval with the processors, or consolidation or deconsolidation of processors, that it creates great opportunity for a lot of companies to be able to disrupt and be able to bring something different to consumers.
I think we're definitely entering a more disruptive part of the cycle.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Extremely.
Yeah.
Jeff, I'm curious, what trends were predicted for, for 2023 that didn't quite come to life? They didn't pan out.
Yeah, great question. The first one that comes to mind is really the FedNow adoption, where FedNow was introduced, and I think there were a lot of high hopes that it would just come in and make a big splash and really disrupt the entire payments ecosystem. And while it came in, it didn't really take off as quickly as I think everybody anticipated. And I still think it's a great technology, a great use case for instant payments or for FedNow, where real-time payments are expected to grow exponentially over the next few years. I think part of the delay is around that merchant or the consumer experience, where with FedNow, it's that credit push to where the consumer has to basically initiate and push the transaction, which could cause additional friction when you're relying on the consumer to make that change. But I think it will pick up and adopt at some point, but I don't think the growth curve will be as drastic as I think everybody anticipated.
Yeah, I think some people thought FedNow would, or wanted FedNow to kind of, overhaul the entire US payment system, and that was probably never realistic, especially since we knew FedNow was launching without some of, some of the consumer facing capabilities that people, might have applied to it. It's adding financial institutions. It's certainly going to become a bigger part of payments, especially corporate payments, and maybe down the road consumer payments, but that did not, surge in 2023. It's going to take some more time to kind of get going, but I think it still has a lot of potential. But it certainly did not, again, dramatically disrupt payments right off the bat.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the other thing, beyond FedNow is the metaverse. Again, adoption for that has been slower than expected. Similar to Buy Now, Pay Later, metaverse was a very hot topic coming into 2023. And whilst the adoption in some regions, outside the US, such as Asia, Europe, may be higher than the US, it's still not what everybody thought it would be. And I think the metaverse definitely isn't going away, but I think it's trying to find its niche of what kind of industries or what kind of use cases make the most sense, and how do you ensure, greater security, and especially around payments in the metaverse.
Yeah, I think the metaverse is still looking for like the right use case, or as people used to say, kind of this killer app that gets it off the ground and really drives interest and adoption again. Because it was this new concept and it was exciting, but it hasn't really latched on to anything where people or businesses feel like they need to use it for any particular reason. And it doesn't feel like it's super close to finding what that is. It may one day and it may not take forever, but it seems like it has a lot of work to do, the whole metaverse, the industry behind it, to really convince people that it's something they need to be using on a regular basis for payments or otherwise.
Yeah, exactly. And I would say the last thing that I would say in this topic was really cryptocurrencies. I think consumers are still sitting on the sidelines in relation to cryptocurrency. And, we're not seeing cryptocurrency being used in everyday transactions and every day-to-day transactions. Now, certain areas that are getting some adoption, like gaming and, some parts of e-commerce, but it really hasn't made its way into mainstream. Even though some enterprises are using it or offering it, I don't think it's being leveraged or used much by consumers. And, I think some of that also is the, that wait and see approach by consumers is, beyond just the volatility of cryptocurrency, it's the, regulatory environment. What are governments going to do? How are they going to regulate, businesses and cryptocurrency? So I think I think it's still relevant and we'll still see digital currency as a way of the future, but there's still some things that we need to be worked out.
Yeah, there's certainly a place for crypto and for CBDCs, and I think there's a lot of potential in certain use cases, but, it's not taking the world by storm. Consumers are not, demanding that they only want to pay in crypto. So it's not going to, again, disappear, but it's just not, it's not becoming a top payment method or even a really significant portion of how consumers want to pay, which is not the end of the world for crypto because it has other use cases and it could also gain that adoption and interest, but it's certainly not where it is right now. One trend that I think people were expecting to go somewhere this year and then in 2023 and then it didn't was in relation to FedNow, the combination of FedNow launching and interest from the U.S. government in regulating interchange. There was this thought that 2023 would be the kind of the beginning of the end of the dominance of credit and debit cards, and especially credit cards, as consumers would switch more to account payments because FedNow might make that easier, and as and rewards might go away if interchange on credit cards is more heavily regulated, so consumers and merchants would all be more interested in alternatives. And none of that came to pass. The U.S. government's still poking around on interchange regulation. That could happen, and FedNow did launch. But I think that no one's expecting cards to die anytime soon, or even really lose significant share to account payments in the U.S. There's room for that to pick up in the future, but I think that really didn't come to pass in 2023, and it could. And there's room for account to account payments to grow, but it's not going to be at the expense of cards anytime soon.
Yeah. You see account to account, especially outside the U.S., is more common than in the U.S. But, changing consumers' behavior, especially U.S. consumers' behavior, is definitely an undertaking. So, having them switch from card to a different payment type will be challenging. But as I think, the younger generations start to become more mature, they'll start to drive that change to where, more account to account may be more prevalent. But I agree that it's not going to be overshadowing card payments, at least in the near future.
You both spoke to a lot of trends that, we're seeing in the space, and I'm sure we're going to continue seeing a lot more in 2024. As we look ahead, how can a business respond to the shifting trends in the payment space? Jeff, I'll start with you.
Yeah, really for businesses to be successful, not only next year, but, in the years to come, is to really ensure that they have a payments provider and a payments partner that can help you meet your customers' needs on where they are, and really empowering you with the latest offerings and work as that trusted advisor, that strategic partner to guide you on what makes sense for your business and what doesn't. And a provider that makes enabling new payment types easy, to where the integration when new payment types come available is seamless to your customer base. And, understanding that some types of payments and processes may work for certain types of industries, but others is so creating that flexibility to ensure that your provider is being able to adapt to your business type, as well as where your business may be taking your business. And the other thing around that is ensuring that you have a provider that has the, most up to date and latest security and fraud protections to ensure that, that's an area that you don't have to really, give much thought to, because your payment provider is ensuring, that you're successful in securing information.
Yeah, as long as you're ready to adapt quickly, you can kind of, very few things are going to come out of nowhere and catch you so off guard that it overhauls your entire business. If you have a good payment provider, they should have the infrastructure to adapt to whatever new payments or new channels are appealing to consumers. But it's just a matter of, being ready to move and being able to move, and that shouldn't be too difficult with the right provider.
Exactly. Yeah. And the other thing I'll say in this topic is really finding a partner that knows your customers, knows their preferences when it comes to payments and offer, insights into payment processes, payment acceptance, how to increase payment acceptance, how to lower costs, really leveraging the data and analytics to be able to help a business hone in on some of those problem points. Really, I think is an important selection for a provider.
As we take a look ahead, we're at the start of the year at this point. You have your crystal ball in front of you. What are you most excited to see this year? Any trends that you think will kind of evolve? Jeff, I'll start with you.
Yeah, I think two things come to mind. First, we talk about instant payments, FedNow. I think that still is exciting. Bringing account to account payments to and instant transfers of those. So, with ACH, it's been kind of a lagging payment rail where, so it can take time, but being able to speed that up to where there's that instant transfer, really, I think it will be game changing for a lot of industries. And the other thing is around the instant payments is open banking, where outside the US, open banking is a little more prevalent, whereas in the US, the adoption of open banking is slow, but I think it will start to pick up to where we'll see open banking become more and more relevant, which opens up a host of new possibilities and innovation that can be leveraged on top of that. And the second thing I think on this topic is really around analytics, especially with the use of AI and Gen AI, being able to optimize the analytics and the insights to be able to help businesses and payment providers be more forward thinking, and businesses being able to get better insights into their business and where they need to focus, and being able to get insights also into their peers, being able to see how their peers are performing and whether they're lagging or ahead of where their peers typically are, will be helpful in helping transform their strategy and help optimize their strategy.
And I think building off of analytics, one thing that I'm really excited about for next year is the opportunity to kind of optimize payments more effectively. In recent years, as more merchants have started to sell online for, because of the pandemic or just because of market shifts, there's merchants are now selling in more channels and more countries and more regions than ever before. And that's really great, but that makes payments more complicated. And there's this opportunity to, use solutions that optimize it, whether it's a payment orchestration solution or something that's called something else. There's, I think, an increasing interest from providers to help merchants optimize their payments efforts, regardless of where they're selling, how they're selling, and making sure their payments are run at the lowest cost of, in a legal manner, in a way that's best for regulations and so on. And analytics are all, and then when you have all of that data being connected through one platform, there's opportunities for greater analytics on how merchants' businesses operate and their payments move. And I think that's really exciting to kind of better serve merchants in the coming years.
Thank you both so much for sharing your insights and perspective. And thanks to everyone for tuning in today. Be sure to subscribe and stay updated on the latest Payments Journal episodes. And don't forget to share this podcast with your friends and colleagues.